This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I'm Kip Allen.
And I'm Buzz Ulrich.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom monitors the state of religious freedom worldwide. In a recent report to Congress, the commission had bleak news.
But we know that prayers of those supporters around the world are behind us, and God is using those prayers to bless us.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. The work by Tihihi Wilongasi, Lutheran Fihawa.
Dr. Robert George, Vice Chairman of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom and a former professor of jurisprudence at Princeton University, says the commission's been in operation since 1998.
The United States Commission on International Religious Freedom is an independent, bipartisan government agency. It was created under the International Religious Freedom Act of 1998, which was enacted by bipartisan majorities in both houses of Congress, signed into law by President Clinton.
Its purpose is to keep tabs on religious freedom issues throughout the world and then advise the Congress, State Department, and the President on the situation.
The mission of the commission is to monitor religious freedom around the world and to advise Congress, the Department of State, and the President on religious freedom issues in international affairs.
Religious freedom has always been one of the keystones of American society. Part of the act that created the commission is to make religious freedom a goal of American foreign policy.
The goal of the International Religious Freedom Act was also to elevate the priority of religious freedom in the formation and execution of the foreign and diplomatic policy of the United States.
In this divisive age, the concept of religious freedom is one that enjoys broad support across the American political spectrum.
Religious freedom as a value, especially in international affairs, is one that is believed in by Republicans and Democrats, by liberals and conservatives. It's an issue that unites Americans. It's not one that divides Americans. And
last May, Commissioner George delivered the commission's findings to Congress. He said the news was not good.
The bad news, and it's very bad news, is that the situation for religious freedom around the world is bleak, and it seems to be getting bleaker.
Religious freedom is the exception, not the rule worldwide. George says that more than three-fourths of the world's population lives where there is religious oppression.
The Pew Foundation report indicates that 76% of the world, more than three-quarters of the population of the world, live under regimes which either themselves routinely and significantly violate people's basic right to religious freedom, or stand by idly, doing nothing, while mobs or thugs or terrorists act against religious minorities, threaten people, abuse people, violate their basic right to religious freedom.
These violations literally span the globe and are not restricted to any particular geographic area.
We find the abuses stretching across the globe, from North Korea and China and Vietnam and Burma through the Middle East, Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, over to Africa, to Egypt, Nigeria, Sudan, and Central African Republic, over to Cuba, where the Castro regime continues to violate religious freedom routinely.
Christians are regularly persecuted in Islamic countries, but within Islam, various branches such as Sunni and Shiite often persecute each other. There's even persecution of Muslims by Buddhists.
I mean, there are some places where Shiite majorities oppress Sunni minorities, as well as Sufi minorities and other Ismailis, other non-Muslim, other Muslim minorities. There's sometimes where it's the reverse. There are some times where Muslims are being persecuted by people of other faiths. For example, in Burma, the Rohingya Muslims are very badly mistreated, and abused, persecuted by the Buddhist majority.
Ominously, George says the commission finds a sharp rise in anti-Semitism.
I am very sad to say that it is on the rise. And it's on the rise even in Europe, which one would have thought, one certainly would have hoped, would have gotten past anti-Semitism given the horrific reality of what anti-Semitism produced in the show of the Nazi Holocaust.
Commissioner George says that what makes this latest rise in anti-Semitism so disturbing is that it is broad-based, crossing ethnic and political lines.
We see anti-Semitism on the rise in Europe, not just Eastern Europe, by the way, Western Europe as well, and not only among immigrant populations, but among the native populations, and not only by the kind of radical neo-Nazi skinhead groups, but also by secularists who disrespect the rights of religious rights of Jews on the basis of ideologies.
As examples, some places in Europe are banning kosher slaughter of animals or circumcision.
For example, you find countries, liberal secular countries, banning kosher slaughter and halal slaughter, by the way. It affects both Jews and Muslims, making it difficult, of course, for them to live by their faith. Even banning circumcision, which is a requirement in the Jewish faith.
The public rationale for such restrictions are protection of animals or protecting children. But keeping kosher and circumcision are not optional in the Jewish faith. This puts an intolerable pressure on observant Jews.
There are places in Western Europe where liberal secularist populations are hostile to circumcision, even banning circumcision, which means that faithful Jews, bound by their covenant to practice circumcision with male infant children, simply cannot live there. They are given the choice, essentially, of breaking the law and becoming criminals or leaving.
These are some of the findings the commission presented to the Congress. Before the report, the commission listed 8 countries: Burma, China, Eritrea, Iran, North Korea, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, and Uzbekistan as countries of particular concern, this for their, quote, systematic and ongoing and egregious violations of religious freedom, unquote. The commission further recommended that another 8 countries, Egypt, Iraq, Nigeria, Pakistan, Syria, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Vietnam be designated as countries of particular concern as well. On July 28, the State Department agreed to list only one of the recommended countries, Turkmenistan, as being a country of particular interest. Not including the other 7 countries was disappointing. According to Commission Chairwoman Katrina Lantos-Sweat, she cited Pakistan as representing the worst example of those countries not currently listed. In other action, President Obama has named an ambassador at large for international religious freedom, as required by the International Religious Freedom Act of 1998. The nominee is Rabbi David Saperstein, who served as the commission's first chairman. The post of ambassador at large for religious freedom has been problematic for the Obama administration. It was vacant when the administration took over in January 2009, and it remained unfilled until April 2011, when Suzanne Johnson Cook was confirmed by the Senate. She resigned in October 2013. The commission's work continues, monitoring the state of religious freedom around the world. Commissioner George says the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod plays an important role in the world.
First, let me say, wearing my hat as a member and as vice chairman of the commission, that we welcome the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's cooperation with our work. We see you and other churches and other religious traditions, Christian and non-Christian alike, as partners. We need information that you gather from your work around the world.
Kip Allen, World Lutheran News Digest.
Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth across the room to a speaker system in your home or listen on radios that have built-in smartphone cradles. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the clear gospel message of Christ crucified for our sins. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
If you have a question or comment for us at Worldwide KFUO, it's easy to contact us on our website, kfuoam.org. On our homepage, click on Contact Us, where you'll find a map and directions to the station, our telephone numbers, and an online contact form. You can also send an email to our in-studio account, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd be happy to hear from you today. Thanks for listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, host of Jubilation on Worldwide KFUO. Coming up this Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m., I'm going to be sharing not only great Christ-centered hymns and songs, I'm going to be also providing various scriptures for you all about the subject of a real hope. See, when yours is centered in Jesus totally, then you have a hope with no minus sign attached to it. So join me Sunday for great music and a hope with no minus sign. That's Jubilation from 1 to 4 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Worldwide KFUO is the most trusted place for sacred music of the church, where every night of the year you can hear sacred music. Weeknights at 6 p.m., listen to sacred music on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis, as well as streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online stream is in high-quality stereo, so you can hear the difference wherever you listen, on your computer, on Wi-Fi radio, and on your smartphone. We're Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂഥറൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടിയാകുന്നു.
A regular feature on World Lutheran News Digest is Meet the Missionary. Today we meet the Wasman family, but we must start with the cutest portion of the interview.
Lily, Olivia.
Yes, so I will watch it. 请告诉我其意恩典和等甘甜我随意的赦免借我是洒净悲心为下咽气的看见
Now that we have met Lily and Olivia and have heard them sing in Mandarin Chinese, we get to focus on the head of the Wasman family.
My name is Matt Wasman, and with my family, Didi, and Lily, and Olivia, we serve as lay missionaries with LCMS in East Asia. Our position is Strategic Volunteer Coordinator. What that means is we work with our local church partners in Taiwan and in Korea, and with their schools and churches to provide English education, Bible instruction at their campuses or in the churches using the medium of English. English language is very desired in Asia, and so we're blessed with an English-speaking congregation here in the States for the most part, and so be able to recruit and bring over, train, and support the missionaries that serve over in Taiwan and South Korea. And so our role as a family, and my role also, is to support them, to facilitate the ministry that they're doing, to serve as a bridge in many places with the school or with the church, to make sure that they're able to function, the missionaries are able to function, to whatever issues or challenges or struggles they're dealing with. It's one of my responsibilities to walk with them, to make sure that we're giving them the attention that they need, the assistance that they need, so they can be effective in their service. And then because we do have a larger team, in particular in Taiwan, if one person is suffering or one person is dealing with some kind of crisis, then if we address that, then it benefits the whole team. And as a result, it benefits the whole ministry. And we're very blessed with those mission partners, because they provide us with opportunities to reach out into the community at a very basic level, at the educational level. And then that moves up to work with the parents of the students, work with other individuals in the community. And then those students one day graduate, move on, and become the doctors, become the lawyers, become the teachers, become the shop owners in that country. And they have had the opportunity to hear God's word and to learn about it. And the Holy Spirit brings them to faith, not all of them, but we're content knowing that we're serving as God's hands and he takes care of the rest.
Matt Wasmund is able to do his job effectively because mission work appears to have been a good vocation.
When my wife and I first went to Asia, we went as volunteer missionaries in 2003, and we went to Taiwan to serve at that school, at our partner school, Concordia Middle School, which is not just a middle school. It's PK3 all the way to 12th grade. And so when we went, there were challenges that we faced. We did not have children at the time. We had been married for about a year, and there were definitely periods of challenge that where we were tested, but we had good support system there, and God brought us through. And so it's an honor to be able to help others. Now, it's not to say that we still don't experience challenges in living overseas and that kind of ministry, but certainly we hope that God can continue to use whatever we experienced to be a blessing to others.
The Wasmund family initially signed up for a year in the mission field, then were approached to the position as a strategic volunteer coordinator on an interim basis. But that became a long-term move.
We were open when we went there. We knew, we felt that it wasn't just going to be a one-year experience. We were open for whatever doors God would open up. And so when they spoke to us about staying on for longer, it was, well, of course, we prayed about it and looked at the situation and realized that that was definitely an open door. So it was easy to step through, and we've been very, very happy being there.
During the more than 11 years that the Wasmunds have been serving as a missionary family, they have seen the workings of the Holy Spirit in bringing mercy to individuals as well as new members to Christ's church.
There are many stories. I would say one that always jumps out at us is a friendship that we made with a family of Taiwanese, and they were attending the Friday night Bible study that has been going on for many years now. And when we went to Taiwan, we were able to join in that ministry. The husband, the father, brought his children to this Friday night Bible study mainly to learn English. And through time, through many friendships, not just ours, we were able to learn more about that family, become really good friends with them. And it was our second year when on a Sunday morning before church, our local pastor called us and said that after church that day, we were going to go to this man's house and we were going to tear down his family altar. It's an altar piece that is put up on maybe the third, fourth floor of a narrow house. And it is the traditional site where many Taiwanese will worship their ancestors. They'll have incense burning, lights that are always lit, maybe the names of ancestors inscribed on a piece of wood or something similar to that. And so we were very delighted to be able to participate in that experience and to see that altar being torn down and to see a cross being nailed on the wall. And it was an unforgettable experience that God definitely worked in that family.
These stories can be rather complex in South and Eastern Asia.
The first thing I think of is a young woman that we befriended in Taiwan. Again, continuing a relationship. It's not that we just bumped into her on the street and became friends. Really, the ministry in Asia is a compilation of many years of different individuals serving. We've seen that in many cases, and this is not an exception. There was a young woman who was raised in a Buddhist family, very strong Buddhist family, and she also was working for a Buddhist television station. She was actually a reporter that was on TV for this station. And through the ministry, through our Lutheran efforts there in Taiwan, God moved her and moved in her life and basically just revealed to her that that is not the way to go. She eventually was baptized. And through her family, through the witness of her family has since heard the message, has seen her endurance in the faith, in the face of a family that, again, very strictly Buddhist. And so we've been with her to pray alongside of her, to support her as she shares that message in a very real way with her family. And so I would say maybe it's not always the happy stories. I mean, there's been some struggles in that. Her family hasn't always been receptive, but we've been able to enjoy that friendship with her, get to know her family better, and see how God's worked in that.
Matt Wasman says some of the challenges a mission family may have can occur in the field.
Well, whenever we visit congregations here in the States, one of the things we try to communicate clearly is we are so thankful for the prayers of support that we receive from these congregations, from individuals, and we are convinced, we truly believe and know that without those prayers, we would not be able to work through some of these challenges. Sometimes those challenges are just a cultural faux pas. Maybe we weren't versed in that particular aspect of the culture, and so we made a mistake. But then that was worked out. It somehow found a resolution, and relationship was not destroyed. Or maybe sometimes the challenge is how to directly address the needs that are within the church, not bringing what we see as something that they need, but it's understanding that they have a better understanding of their culture, of their language, of their what is Christianity in that culture. And so to be able to come alongside of them instead of trying to lead them in that, right? To be listeners, to be humble servants. And so that's definitely always a big challenge, but we know that prayers of those supporters around the world are behind us, and God is using those prayers to bless us.
Some of the challenges come from the home country of missionaries.
When we visit congregations or speak to supporters, there's almost this sense of these are our missionaries in Korea or in Taiwan or wherever, East Asia. And that's true. We are missionaries sent by the LCMS to serve in those places. But it's almost as if when people say that, it's putting the focus on the wrong person. The focus, we don't want to be on us. We really want it to be on God. And our task is to tell people about Jesus. And that's the task not just of the Wasman family. That's the task of all of us. And it's easy to, I think it can be easy, to write that check, to support the missionary, and to think that the work is done there. I'm in missions because I'm supporting a missionary family. And that's important. And we very much appreciate that. But doesn't Jesus call all of us to do more than that? And so we've tried to be more deliberate about saying that we are just God's hands in that part of the world. We are serving there just like you're serving here. And I know that that's hurt a lot, right? We're all missionaries. You know, we hear that all the time. But I think even just using that word, we're all missionaries, people still take themselves out of the equation. So we are just Christians. One way to look at it is we are Christians living in Korea. We are sent by the church. We want to work towards our goals of telling people about Jesus. We want to see the Lutheran church grow in that part of the world. But we are Christians living over there, just like we are Christians living here. And so I think that's something that we're trying to do a better job of communicating, and hope that can be an encouragement.
You can find out about how to support the mission field work of the Wasman family, that's spelled Wasmund, at their page on the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod website, lcms.org/Wasmund.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.